This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
This bracket season, FanDuel is letting you make the call. Because right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's 200 extra bucks to bet on everything from clutch shots to last-second heartbreaks and even who's cutting down the nets. If you've been waiting to join, there's no better time. There's tourney action almost every day, and FanDuel has amazing bet types like spreads, totals, game props, and so much more. So visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and get in on the college hoops action all tourney long.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Let's go! One on three! One, two, three!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Y'all boys, man. Keep hands on two. One, two.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, and let's go right to him. Brian Baldinger joins us. Baldy, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm fantastic, man. It's good to hear your voice. Good to be with you, brother.
Hey, and not only that, before we get going, but you're going to be a pro day at University of Miami. Did I hear that the other day on NFL Network?
Next Monday.
Yeah.
Next Monday, Joe. Yep, I'll be watching Cam Ward and, you know, Elijah Arroyo, some of these guys that, you know, are going to be thought pretty high level in the draft, but obviously Cam Ward is going to be the story there. So we'll watch him throw and see how he does. And I don't know, whatever evaluations you can do from a pro day, Joe, I'll see what I can glean.
Yeah. You know, I'm really curious with Cam Ward because they've already said these two quarterbacks wouldn't be, they'd be behind that whole group of guys from a year ago. And I was like, whoa, man, that's okay. I just like everybody to see him in person and for the GMs and head coaches and everybody that will be there. That's he could still be the first overall pick, though, Baldy, right?
Yeah, I mean, whether it's with Tennessee or if Tennessee trades that pick, the Giants need a quarterback right now. Cleveland could still use a quarterback. So, I mean, there's quarterback-needy teams for sure. Not really sure what's going to happen in the trade market, but for right now, I think that, you know, Cam Ward has pretty much solidified himself as the number one quarterback. And if that's the case, he might be the number one pick.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, I got to ask you, guess who's holding us all up here in the business of free agency, speaking of quarterback? Aaron Rodgers.
Your favorite.
Shocking. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God. You surprised? And where's he going to end up? I mean, now their Vikings are in the running, or he might retire. What's the deal? Is this about money?
What it says, Joe, is just how desperate these teams are. I mean, because anybody that watched him last year, he was not good. And, you know, maybe it was still the year removed from the Achilles where he was in such a hurry to get the ball out of his hands. And really the problem was is he couldn't put the ball where he wanted to put it, where he needed to put it, you know, in location. And so, I don't know, like if they're studying the film, if they just think he's – because he's not Aaron Rodgers of 5 years ago. So I don't think he's even close to that. So what are you getting? But, yes, the Giants – if he said, I'll play with the Giants will sign him today. You know, if Pittsburgh said – I'll sign with you today. He'd sign with him today. But, you know, he's still evaluating things with the organization. He's doing his diligence, I guess. He's trying to make up his mind whether it's worth it to play another year. So, yeah, he told him to sign up. But from his standpoint, like he doesn't want to make another mistake like he did with the Jets.
Yeah, Baldy, Omar Kelly here. Do you think that an Aaron Rodgers and Pittsburgh Steelers is a situation that can work? Because Aaron Rodgers has generally wanted full control, wants his offense, wants his play caller, wants his weapons. And Pittsburgh's an organization. They're clearly not going to give him that. That's a Mike Tomlin-run organization. Do you think that that could possibly work? And would that be a good situation for Aaron?
Well, I don't think... Oh, I don't think right now that he's going to be pushing for that. I mean, I think he did with the Jets when he was trying to build the roster with his own, you know, offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett. Like, I think those days are over. Mike Tomlin runs that team. He's got a good grip on it. It's a veteran-led team by some of their stars on defense. Like, he's not going to go out there and ask for some of the players that he asked for in New York. Like, that's not going to happen anymore. They just picked up a receiver in DK Metcalf. They've got a slot receiver. You know, and so I think, you know, they got George Pickens on the outside. They're going to draft a running back. Like, I think they're going to be pretty well set. The offense line will, I think, be better than anything he played behind in New York. So I don't think they're going to go out and sign another, you know, Tyron Smith at age 36 with an injury history. I think they're pretty good shape if he goes there right now to kind of just go play football and learn the offense of Arthur Smith.
Hey, Baldy, I wanted to ask you a couple moves made by the Dolphins in free agency. You knew I was going to get around to this. Zach Wilson as a backup quarterback surprise you? What did you think about the move?
Well, it didn't surprise me. They need a backup quarterback. It was terrible last year. I don't understand the move that they made when they did last year. But, you know, all these quarterbacks that were drafted high, you know, Zach was the second pick in the draft. They go to quarterback rehab. I mean, maybe Sean Payton is quarterback rehab the way Sean McVay is, the way Kyle Shanahan is, the way Kevin O'Connell is. It seems like you take broken-down quarterbacks that have failed in other places, you put them a year in a program about how you actually game plan, what your work week is supposed to be like, what your work ethic has to be. Like, I think some of these guys actually learn a lot a year, even though Zach didn't play this year. I think he might have learned a lot. So, I don't think it's a bad move. He was a talented kid, kind of a, you know, not a very hard worker and not a real, I don't know, the guy played just frenetic football. Like, you know, if he calms down and he actually goes through progressions now, his talent might pay off if he gets a chance if Tua goes down this year. So I'm not opposed to the move right now.
Hey, so I got to ask you about offensive line. You and I have talked so much about offensive lines down here with the Miami Dolphins. They get James Daniels, played four games with Achilles, goes down. How do you like that pickup for the Dolphins? That's been their big pickup so far in free agency.
Yeah, they picked up him and Larry Borum, who was a backup in Chicago, and all you got to do is watch Chicago play last year. And if you're the backup there, what's that say about you? James Daniels... I feel like he's been a declining player really since his first year in Pittsburgh. Like, he just has never been – he's a small guy that had a lot of power coming out of Iowa. He was a center guard type pickup. He could play both positions. He did at college. You know, he played four games last year. You're picking up a guy with an injury history. It's not great. Guys coming back off of Achilles in their first year. We've seen him from a number of quarterbacks. I don't know that it's going to be any better for offensive linemen right now.
What's in the draft? I know you. I don't know how much time you put on it for offensive line. We've been talking because it's got to be a priority for the Dolphins on the line of scrimmage on both sides to get more physical with the big guys. What do you think about the talent in the first few rounds?
Well, I thought they blew it last year by not getting Graham Barton. Like, I thought they had an upgraded center. Tampa did it, and their offense completely changed with him in there. Like, there's a number of really good interior offensive linemen and a number of, offensive tackles that might become guards. But there's a lot of options in this draft, Joe. I don't think you have to spend a first-round pick to get a good player this year. I don't think there's a top-10 pick in the offensive line in this draft. But I do think there's a number. I think there's a lot of really good depth. I was at the Senior Bowl this year, and I thought that there was a lot of really good players that I think could come in and help teams right away. Last year the Steelers took a fifth round pick in Mason McCormick. He started at right guard for them. They took Zach Frazier in the second round at center. He started for them. They were really good players. I think the same thing is this year. I think you find guys on second and third day picks that can come in and start for you right now.
Hey, so I got to ask you, I was shocked by this one. Cincinnati, the Brown family, known to be really tight with their money to get both those receivers done. I had to start the show with that this morning. I was shocked to see it. It was big money, but they put it out there and got two of the guys, and Trey Hendrickson's now on deck to see if they can get a deal done there. That surprise you?
It surprised me because I thought they'd get Jamar done. I didn't know that they could get T done like they did, so not surprised to get two guys done. That's hard for any team at wide receiver, much less since being at Cincinnati. But the salary cap is up to $279 million right now, Joe. There's a lot more money to spend. So I think it's a good message to any Bengal player that they can take care of their own. Mm-hmm. They might have to, I was out of training camp twice last year. I mean, those guys played catch on the sidelines for the entire training camp waiting for a contract. So they can't afford that to happen. But if they could get Trey Hendrickson done, and he's got one more year left. He's under contract this year. He does have one more year left. But if you're going to move him and you can't get the deal done, you might as well try to get something for him. And that's really what the trade talk is about. But if they can get Trey Hendrickson extended, that says a lot about the organization right now.
Let me ask you this question, Baldy, because you talked about it with the Bengals and Miami's situation. They feel like not having guys work during the offseason kind of threw off their synergy, especially from an offensive standpoint. How much difference do you think that truly makes in terms of having guys working consistently during the offseason and then during training camp?
I do think it makes a difference. I remember, this is a long time ago, but I remember when Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and, Deion, all those guys were working out in the offseason at Valley Ranch in Dallas. I mean, that was a precursor to them winning three Super Bowls in 4 years, the work that they put in and turning things around. I do think it makes a difference, but does Tyreek Hill need to be working with Tua Tagovailoa every day, over at, their practice facility? Probably not. But at the same time, it can't hurt. I mean, they didn't have a good year together last year. Tyreek didn't have a good year. Tua didn't have a good year. I mean, I do think if you want to rebound from a subpar season, that would be a good thing to do, just building chemistry. And if you're putting any new ideas in, new concepts in, it'd be good to get them kind of ironed out before you actually get to training camp and start really, putting your team together.
Hey, Baldy, I wanted to ask you, I know you got pro days and then the draft's going to be right around the corner. Like, if you're the Dolphins, we got 10 draft picks. You got to hit on some draft picks, man. I know we're talking about free agency and we didn't go out and make a big splash and we tried to get some bargains and get guys because of the money situation. But you got to hit on the draft. At the end of the day, when you got that many draft picks, a couple extra fours, an extra five, we got to have some guys who can come in and play right away. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I know you signed two safeties in free agency.
Yeah.
Melifuanu from Detroit, and you picked up Ashton Davis from the Jets. I mean, neither one of those guys have been starters. You just got to replace Javon Holland. That's a good draft for safeties. But, safety is a position. Corner is always a position in Miami, it seems like. I know Kader
need one.
You need a corner.
Yeah.
So, corner, you usually, if you want a starting corner and a great corner, you usually got to spend a first-round pick to get them. usually don't find those guys later in the draft. So corner is a premier position right now. Offensive line is still a premier position for this football team. I think, you know, look, they've moved on at running back right now. That's fine. But I think, you know, defensive line, like, are they going to be able to get Calais Campbell back? Are they going to keep Benito Jones? Like, they had a good rotation at defensive tackle last year. This is a great draft for defensive tackle, as good as I can remember in a long time. So, and it's deep, too. So, I mean, defensive line, for sure. Yeah, it has to be upgraded. You just don't know what Jalen Phillips is going to be at this stage after two major injuries. Chop Robinson showed some things, but defense line, corner, I know they picked up some linebackers, but I don't know exactly, you know, what K.J. Britt, like he started last year in Tampa, or Terrell Dodson is. Like, but this is a good draft for linebackers. Jod Campbell sitting out there from Alabama, that guy looks like he could do everything for you. But I'm with you. I mean, I would say no less than three starters, Joe, coming out of this draft is what you got to hope for at this point.
Yeah, we just can't have that development of 2 and 3 years and wonder if the Cam Smiths of the world can play, and here we go again. And all.
That was the second-round pick, Joe, and yeah. I don't think he's, you know, I don't know if he's going to make the roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah, not exactly on their very excited list right now over in training facility after the first two, for sure.
Baldy, let me ask you a little bit about the defensive. You talk about this being a deep defensive tackle draft. What are some of the prospects that you really like? Obviously, everybody knows about Mason Graham, you know, and his Michigan partner and Kenneth Grant. But who else intrigues you?
Well, the partner next to Mason Graham is really interesting to me. You know, because Kenneth Grant is 345 pounds, and he looks dominant out there. He looks actually like a better prospect than does Mason Graham to me. He's just, I like bigger. I think bigger is better. But Walter Nolan at Old Miss, for example, I'm going to Penn State's Pro Day to go see Abdul Carter and to see Ty Warren, who is maybe the best tight end prospect I've seen in a long time. And I talked to guys around the league, general managers of the league. I'm like, am I going to see a pro at Penn State's Pro Day? And they're like, no, we're going to be at Mississippi's Pro Day. It's the same day. But that's because Walter Nolan is there. They've got a defensive end there that's there. Derek Harmon at Oregon is a big defensive tackle that has a lot of upside to him. I saw Deion Walker at Kentucky. He's 6'7" and a half. He's 345. Oh, if he can learn to stay low, like, he's got real promise because he moves really good. But Alfred Collins at Texas at 6'6", 340 pounds. Like, they're big defensive tackles in this draft. T.J. Sanders is 6'5", 300 pounds. C.J. West tested really good at Indiana. Like, he's 6'2", 316 pounds. I just got hit up by Joshua Farmer at Florida State. When are you going to do a breakdown on me, Baldy? but I could go on and on and on, Omar. Yeah. Like, it's deep, like, into day three. Defensive tackles in this draft. This kid, J.J. Peguis at Mississippi, shows, like, real flexibility at inside and outside. Shamar Turner at Texas A&M. Like, honestly, when I started studying this draft, I wrote up 20 defensive tackles that could be taken maybe in the first, you know, four rounds of this draft, and I just hit a bunch of them. But I saw him at the Senior Bowl, Omar, and I – down there with me watching every drill was Mike Tomlin and, you know, Mike Vrabels. Like, they were all watching these kids because they've got NFL bodies. They've got some twitch. They all got size. Like, it's real promise from this group.
Baldy, that's great stuff, man. Really appreciate it. And, hey, I hope to see you Monday at I think we're
I'll
trying
there, Joe.
We're going live.
You going live?
Yeah, I think we're going live out there. We're going to be out there early.
I don't know what time I'm going to be out there. I think the thing is, like, I think the quarterbacks throw like at 4 o'clock, Joe. I got to double check that.
Well, then you're telling me if yeah. So that's going to be
I'm going to be there all day, Joe.
Yeah, Baldy's going to have an all nighter. Baldy's going to have an all nighter and then show up for work at noon.
No, Baldy takes care of himself. Baldy's all business. Yeah. Fort Lauderdale life, and he's very calm. Fort Lauderdale life. Don't worry about that.
So listen, you know, in order to get ready, I'm in the Bahamas right now, Joe. So, like, I'm getting ready to start ready.
Baldy, these pro days, all right? Baldy, life's been good today. Life's been good today.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. We had Omar on earlier. Came out with some pretty strong again yesterday in the Miami Herald. Dolphins remain soft in the trenches and seemingly don't care. Was the headlines with an article from Omar as we say good morning. Omar, is this just a wake-up call for the Dolphins, or you don't think they're going to do enough in the draft, or where was that you don't think they care?
Well, they've got 3 defensive linemen on the roster right now, and I know everybody will say, oh, well, they got time, or they can address it later, or, you know, we'll get to it. You know, Liam Eichenberg's still a starting offensive lineman, which both you and I know is probably a problem. Not probably, but probably it, but absolutely is a problem. And we'll say, you know what, they're just being patient, or they're waiting and they're spending responsibly. Oh, they'll get to it in the draft. You know, the funny thing is, Joe, we said the exact same thing last offseason, and they never got to it. They never did any better. And then they laughed it off and told you, oh, we, you know, you guys are more concerned about our offensive line more than we are. They got saved by Calais Campbell taking a ridiculous $3 million deal to come play for Miami. Didn't even expect him to be as good as he was, but basically he saved your entire defense, if not your entire team last year. And truth of the matter is, that wasn't skill, that was just luck. And I just have a hard time believing or sitting there and being patient enough to say, oh, they'll get to it. They're going to fix it. They're going to address it because they didn't do it last year.
Let's start with Calais Campbell. It's an interesting one because obviously the way he played last year and the amount of snaps he took, he's going to have a lot of people interested. Now, I don't think it's just Baltimore and Miami. I think some other people are going to reach out and offer him to play for a great team and more than $3 million. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. No, everybody knows that he's chasing a ring. There were teams lined up that the Dolphins had agreed last year to waive him if they were not in contention for a playoff spot. And to thank their lucky stars that they were in the final week, because Calais was basically forced to stay here. And there were teams that really offered good draft picks to trade for him. Those teams are still interested. They haven't lost interest. And everybody in the world knows that he is chasing a ring. Calais is trying to put the finishing touches on his Hall of Fame career.
So, Omar, I got to ask you this. So, we have to your point, we got to get where we're not looking at a guy that's going to be 39 here pretty soon.
Yeah.
We need to be talking about a young Calais Campbell, a guy that can play. And I'm not saying we're going to get another Calais Campbell. They're special guys. I mean, that guy, second round out at University of Miami, a great player. You know, one of the guys that played a lot better than I thought he was when he got to the pro, to the point of more than 100 sacks now. But we do have to put in this draft, and I'm okay. I just disagree with you a little bit, and this is where people are going to agree with you. Like, why, Joe, because I've been getting this over and over, why would we trust Chris Greer in a draft? When was the last time he lit up a draft? I go, well, he better, because this is the Last Supper, man. And this draft needs to be, no matter who's part of it or Last Breakfast.
Joe, that is a phenomenal name, and I'm going to have to borrow it. It is truly, 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 I think, the Last Supper. That is truly a phenomenal name.
Now I got religious people going to be killing me for that.
Okay, maybe we can't do that.
But my point is, I didn't mean it that way. Literally, because he did the breakfast thing. He was talking about, you guys are more worried about it at breakfast. We were talking. I go, well, this will be your Last Supper, just so everybody out there doesn't think I'm trying to.
He has had some good drafts. We can't sit here and say that. And then they've traded away draft picks, and then they've lost draft picks. So I think he's had some good drafts. 2016, which is his first draft class, that was a good draft. That's the Laramie Tunsil, Xavier Howard, Kenyon Drake.
That was a good one.
Jakeem Grant.
Jakeem Grant. That's right. That was a good one. That was great work. But that was a long time ago, man.
Yeah. And then we squandered it in 2017, where that was the Charles Harris, Cordarrelle Tankersley, Isaac Asiata. The only one that was salvageable from that draft was Devon Godchow. 2018, I think that draft was ruined by the selection of Mike Gesicki, but Minka Fitzpatrick was a first round pick. Minka Fitzpatrick is a dynamic player. Unfortunately, he's a dynamic player for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah. You traded that pick for.
I got you on a history lesson. I guess you don't trust what you're right. You don't trust that we can take care of all this in the draft and get a big frontline guard that can come in and play right away. You don't believe it. And get a defensive tackle that's going to line up day one. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be going against each other in practice every day. And you're going, wow, this is great. We hit on the guard and the tackle. Look at them going against each other.
The guard and the tackle. Don't forget the cornerback.
No, the cornerback's right there at the top.
Right. You know, there are just so many. And it's not too late, because there are still some talented players out there that can help you. They're not going to be tremendously expensive. Chris Greer is probably going to wait till later in the process. Hell, they signed Calais Campbell really, really, really late in the process. I believe it was right before the draft, or maybe right after the draft. I can't remember when they signed Calais. The entire offseason had finished, so they signed him. They signed him after the draft. So it's It's possible that you can actually rebuild this team in the draft. It is absolutely possible. They will have 10 draft picks. You know, probably about three undrafted rookies are going to make the team. So that's 13 newcomers. Now, the question is, how many of those newcomers do you hope and expect to be regular, consistent contributors? Because right now, the way it looks is you need a starting cornerback. You need a nose tackle. You need another defensive lineman. You need an offensive guard. And maybe you need to add a safety too, because you know you sign these guys to 1 year deals. That's pretty much five players. So you expect to have five really core players in one draft. That's asking for a lot, Joe.
It's a lot. It is a lot. But we put ourselves in this situation.
Yep.
Went out and spent all that money you talked about a year ago. Mr. Ross spent, I should say, and he had to sign off on it before, obviously.
Yeah.
And they got us an 8-9. I mean, no matter what, whatever you want to point fingers at, it's 8-9 and not good enough going forward. By the way, I think it's more than fair. What somebody asked me last night, you know, Chris Kittle. I go, look at man, he's a GM. Like this is on him.
And don't pass the buck on anybody else this time. No. I think he's very masterful at saying, well, I got the head coach what he wanted. This is the guy he wanted. This is the guy the coaches really wanted. They really believed in him. And when it works out, when it doesn't work out, that's what you say. When it works out, pretty much, you know, that's what you say too, because, you know, that's who you are. And I think that it takes some skill to be in the situation that he's been in for 9 years and consistently survive. But at this point, at this time, there is nobody else to point the finger at other than you.
I think they have a really good coaching staff. Do you agree with that? I like this coaching staff a lot.
I do like the coaching staff. I think that they have a problem, but I think they have a how do I say this?
What kind of problem?
They need a bad cop. A lot of good cops, no bad cops.
Yeah, but if they get a bad cop, they get rid of the bad cop because they start complaining about the bad cop. Is that what you mean?
Who starts complaining? Are you talking about players?
Yeah.
I don't think players. Yes. Okay. All right. It's.
You got to do it Mike's way. He wants you to coach him up, but it's got the message at the end of the day needs to be pat on the back and uh-huh. reinforcement and you mm-hmm. know, it's just different.
I say this to you, and I truly do mean this, Joe. This is a different era, man.
I know.
This is a different era, and it stuns me. I was talking to a guy that I know that I really trust, and he was telling me an SEC offensive lineman, you know how much they're making in college right now, Joe? $750. So you're a starting SEC offensive lineman, no matter what position you are, $750 going rate.
A little higher than I thought, yeah. No, but I'm not surprised. I see the money in the SEC and the Big Ten.
Oh,
And by the way, UM ain't taking much of a back seat now. They're in the ball game.
So, yeah, but from what I hear, the ACC they got to pick it up money wise. They got to pick it up because the SEC is just like I did a draft.
But your point to this is what your point is.
Yeah. My point is this is a different era of athletes.
I get it.
They are used to you talk to them hard. I'm transferring. What you doing over here coaching me hard? Don't you realize I make more money than you?
But can't you coach a guy hard? Jason Taylor says I coach him hard, but I love him, and they know that. And I heard Coach Weaver say this. Anthony Weaver say the same thing after Vic left, and we made Vic Fangio made it sound like he's the worst human being and the grumpy old man who, by the way, can coach his ass off.
He was a grumpy old man though. He was a grumpy old man. That's fact.
But I thought those guys would respect the fact that he knew what the F he was doing.
He didn't listen. That's their problem. It wasn't that he was a grumpy old man. It's that he didn't listen. He was uncompromising.
But he knew what he wanted to do. Like Bill Arnsparger didn't ask the Killer Bees. I'm going old school again. I know. I just went old school on you.
But you have to work with these players, man. And like the twists and stunts, they took that out of the defense, and Calais and Zach, they cried and whined and complained, and then they did it anyway, and then they started playing well. You know, Jalen Ramsey was not supposed to shadow the Jets. He was just like, screw it, I'm going to do it. And it turned out and worked well. But the old man was uncompromising, Joe. The old man would not work with you. And that was a non-negotiable for them. Now, Weaver is a collaborative, we're going to all work together, we're going to build this together kind of guy.
But if you got a guy freelancing all the time, because the freelance thing does come up, and that's been a complaint through the 25 years. Ndamukong Suh was a great freelancer, and then everybody looked at him like, bro.
What you doing? Yeah.
Now we just gave up a huge play, and it's on you because you decided to leave your gap and go someplace unknown to mankind. And so we've had a lot of that, but, I mean, don't you got to call him out a little bit, or like, hey, man.
No. It cost, what's the linebacker? The linebacker that I caught, David Long, cost him his job. David Long would not do his job and do his assignment and do his role, and they basically replaced him and cut him. So I thought he just couldn't cover. That was the accountability era of the Dolphins, which just started 3 years into Mike McDaniel tenure. I agree, though,
if a guy's killing you on the field, and if you don't want to, you know, you just got to get rid of him, and you figure the players know when they're watching, God, the same mental mistake's coming from the same guy. We do our job, and you decide you're going to do it your way, and find a coach goes, all right, thanks, David. Good luck with everything. We have nothing bad to say about you. You need to go find a new team. All right.
That was a shift in dynamics of what was going on in that building, and it was much needed. Probably you needed to do the same thing with Julian Hill. You didn't really do that, or maybe Durham Smythe couldn't beat him out. I can't answer.
I talked to coaching staff about him. I did have a long talk in Los Angeles, and they just think and listen, people. You want to talk about fan base down on a guy?
Yeah,
there you have it. His penalties, and it was dropped balls and penalties. And he goes, he just got too much talent. We can't give up on him.
He's crazy talent. He's the strongest guy on the team, and they really love him. Really want to
control
him
a little bit. Yeah. And by the way, we do that. We got a couple investments. You're like, how much? We have another tight end. Like, how much longer are we going to stick with this guy? Connor, Tanner, Connor.
I like him, though. You can see the ability. It's just...
3 years!
This is year four. They get invested in guys, Joe. I'm not denying. You're correct. They get invested in...
I like this new investment program. Before you know, you got 4 years in. I like that.
And you still haven't seen a return. God. Yeah.
All right, man.
You can't sell the stock, Joe. You can't sell the stock. My thing is...
It's about time for me to get out of the whole thing. And I don't mean it in a negative way. It's just... It has changed a lot, and I get it. I understand it. I've listened to analytics and science and the way you do that. And I understand it's all important, and you got to talk. And I get it, man. I get it from – I got spanked, and I haven't had a kid get spanked yet, four of them.
Yes.
Different mothers, and none of them got spanked. Nobody got spanked.
No. You can't spank your kid now, Joe. That's child abuse.
I took enough hits for everybody. I tell them I took enough hits for all four kids. Don't worry. You're good.
And look how you turned out, Joe.
My kids are actually all great. I don't mean it like it works to their point that the mothers tell me it works. But anyway, man, I this part of this is that friggin' Bo Camper's got me like, you know, he thinks no matter how good you are that sit him on the bench. I go, well, you can't sit him on the bench, man, when he messes up, and it's, you know, you can't do that. Anyway, Omar, thank you, man. I appreciate you coming on.
All right, Joe.
We didn't take care of anything, Omar. We'll see what happens, but we got some stuff to take care of here.
Hey, we'll fix it all in 6 weeks, Joe, when we draft everybody that we need to starting roles, all five positions.
All right, see, there. I know. That would be called the greatest draft in the history of the Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
All right, Omar.
That's you know, Joe.
4 o'clock hour. The Hockman and Crowder Show. Crowder and Solana. Jimmy, we're going to take you up until 6 p.m. I found this ranking. We're going to get to Road to Redemption. I want to do a little bit more on the Heat as well, kind of look at some big picture stuff. But haven't really talked to any Dolphins today, Crowder. There isn't much going on in the world of the NFL outside of, like, random signings and acquisitions. But I did see this this ranking on CBSSports.com, ranking AFC teams after the first wave of NFL free agency. I'll start at the very bottom. You want to guess who the worst rated AFC team is going into the season after the first wave of free agency? I'll give you a hint. We were just talking about one of their best players, or one of their players. I don't know if he could be considered best anymore.
I don't know. The whole AFC, without the draft, one of the garbage teams, the Browns.
There you go. Bingo. The Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They haven't done anything.
Key addition, Kenny Pickett, quarterback, and that's about it. Yeah.
He's going to get him. He's going to get him right. Yeah. Kenny damn Pickett.
15 are the Tennessee Titans. They have the number one overall pick, which I saw today. Your boy Mel Kiper thinks Cam Ward is back to number one on his latest mock draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Cam is better than Shadur.
Oh, for sure.
We could talk about Shadur if you want to, and all the stuff going on with him. He has too much machismo and all these words they make up for people that believe in themselves. Yeah, but Cam is more accurate. Cam's arm is stronger than Shadur. I think Shadur would be a great pro as well, but Cam is better than Shadur Sanders.
You think Shadur? Oh, let's finish this ranking and we'll go back to that, because I am interested in that. Jacksonville Jaguars are number 14. Number 13 are the New York Jets. Justin Fields was their big signing. 12 are the New England Patriots. They spent a ton of money, especially on the defensive end. And then the Colts are 11. Daniel Jones was their big acquisition. That'll be a QB battle all season long. And then Raiders are 10, adding Geno Smith and our old friend Raheem Mostert. And number 9 are the Miami Dolphins. And they write key additions: James Daniels, Melifonwu, the DB, Zach Wilson, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Key losses: Javon Holland and offensive guard Robert Jones. Miami hasn't been very active, they write, in free agency, but the headline thus far is losing Javon Holland to the New York Giants. Melifonwu is certainly an intriguing replacement if he can stay healthy. Adding Daniels was good for the offensive line, but Miami should not be done adding talent in the trenches. Ultimately, the Dolphins haven't done anything yet to move themselves off the line of, quote, borderline playoff team, but I still don't view them as a, quote, bad team. We'll see what Chris Greer does in the upcoming NFL draft. And Crowder, number 9 is exactly where the Dolphins were a year ago, exactly where the Dolphins were 2 years ago, exactly where the Dolphins were 10 years ago, and exactly where the Dolphins were 20 years ago. Right there. Not bad enough to improve your team, but not good enough to compete. I think they nail it in the ninth ranking there, the ninth seed.
Yeah. I'm with them on this one. I don't think they had the money to go make any big splashes, because the splash was Jalen Ramsey. The splash was Tyreek and Jalen Waddle getting paid, Tua getting paid. Those were the financial splashes in the past 12 months. But, yeah, Belafondo, we'll see what happens. I don't know if I'm saying his name right.
You're not.
Like, we'll see if he can replace – I'm not. Belafondo, what's his name?
No, Melifonwu.
Mel, so it starts with an M. Yeah. So Melifonwu. I had a D. So M, Melifonwu.
Melifonwu.
We'll see if he can replace Javon Holland, who didn't thrive in last year's system, in Anthony Weaver's system, but he did thrive in Vic Fangio's system, when, you know, we know the whole thing with him. But yeah, it's not sexy. You can't do sexy things when you don't have money. And they don't have money. James Daniels, we'll see what happens. They re-signed Liam Eichenberg. I'm not a big fan. Zach Wilson, it is what it is. It's a reclamation project. We've talked about that. You know, we talked about that in the last week or so. But yeah, no, I'm right there with them. Solid signings, but solid doesn't get you from, you know, 9-8 to 12-5. Like, solid doesn't do that. So we'll see. Hopefully Jalen Phillips is healthy. Hopefully Bradley Chubb's healthy. Hopefully Tua doesn't get hurt. We're running on a lot of hope right now with the Dolphins roster. But we're also running on Chris Greer's ass having 10 draft picks.
Yeah, for sure.
Two in the third, two in the fourth.
Yeah.
Like, those guys got a hit. I was listening to Joe this morning coming back from the airport on his damn red eye talking to Baldinger. And it's kind of the same thing I've been asking people. We asked Chris Perkins. We've asked Clay Ferrero, Will Manso. Like, bro, out of 10 picks, Solana, you got to find three starters. You have to find three starters for your team. And that's where we can move into double-digit win territory if you find three starters out of these 10 draft picks.
Yeah, it's three guys who can contribute now, not the Patrick Pauls of the world. And, hey, I think Patrick Paul is going to be good. But we all knew he was a project, right? Like, he wasn't a guy who was going to be ready to be your starting offensive tackle or starting guard right away. And I think, you know, even with Chop Robinson a year ago, there was kind of that question mark because, bro, I think everybody's happy with the Chop Robinson pick. Don't get me wrong, Crowder. Dude clearly has talent, and he was one of the more exciting young rookies in the NFL. But it took him a while to get there. And what the Dolphins needed a year ago was – you know, an edge rusher who could contribute immediately, considering the fact that Jalen Phillips, we didn't know at the time of the draft, was going to be absolutely, you know, just diesel and be back and ready to go. And Bradley Chubb's status was, like, in major question as well. He ended up not playing all season. So I think that's where the frustration came a season ago after when the season started, which was, hey, like, Chop might end up being a Pro Bowler, but last year, going into week one, we needed somebody who could contribute immediately, and that all changed week two with Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, but Solana, I brought it up. I don't know who we were talking to. Like, I brought it up. Like, my 05, and now I'm old man because it's 2025. I'm talking about 05. I walked in as a starter. Ronnie Brown walked in as a starter. Travis Daniels was in the fourth round. Matt Roth was in the second round. I went third round. We had 1, 2, 3, and 4 start day one. Then I bring up Sean Smith and Vontae Davis, God rest his soul, my man. Like Jake Long walked in, and he was the first pick of the draft and all that. But I didn't play with Noah Igbinoghenes. You know what I'm saying? I didn't play with Austin Jacksons where you're first rounder, bro. Get your ass on the field and play football. And that's what, and Chris Greer, I bring it up because Chris Greer was a part of the Dolphins. He wasn't the GM. He was a scout at that time. But bro, like, that's what it should look like. 1, 2, 3, first, second, third round should start. Travis Daniels starting as a fourth rounder at LSU, like, that's a bonus. First, second, third round dude should start. Like, Channing Tindall to not be able to touch the field, and now we're bringing in linebacker free agents, like, that's what we can't do anymore. And that's what I, you know, if I talk, and I'm sure I'm going to talk to Chris Greer, that's what we need to do. We have to bring in top draft picks that contribute. But you say contribute, Solana. I want to put it further. That start. They start. You have this guard. We're going to draft somebody that's better than Liam Eichenberg. You have this linebacker. You have this cornerback. We're going to draft somebody better than Kader Kohou. That's what I'm used to. That's what I think builds a strong team.
Yeah, and I'm with you, but the fact that there were the Noah Igbinoghenes is why the Dolphins are in this position now, where we're sitting here in free agency going, well, who are they going to pay? And last year, they have to go out and sign a Jalen Ramsey, and they have to go out and overpay on, you know, certain players at different positions because they're not hitting in the draft. And I know Chris Greer has. There are several guys that he hit on in the draft. Don't get me wrong. Chop Robinson being one of them. I think Patrick Paul is going to end up being another one. We can go down the list. Javon Holland, Christian Wilkins, Robert Hunt. Like, there are guys he's hit on. But when you're building out your roster.
Those three last guys you said, Robert Hunt, Christian Wilkins, Javon Holland, all on different teams.
All gone. Yeah, but you don't.
So there, you draft starters, but we can't retain them because of the salary cap and the money situation.
Yeah.
That's what the GM has to do is deal with that money. Christian Wilkins is a monster. I love him to death. Robert Hunt was a Pro Bowler. I saw Robert Hunt in Orlando at the Pro Bowl. We drafted him and couldn't keep him as a Pro Bowl guard, and now Liam Damn Eichenberg is getting an extension. It's just that rubbed me the wrong way.
There was a fake story. I want to make this very clear. There was a fake story about how much Liam was going to make a season going around on social media, and I loved it because people, you know, we did it the day he signed the extension. We come on the air too, and we're like, oh, Liam Eichenberg, because none of us want to see Liam Eichenberg. But it was funny to see people just see his name, see a dollar sign attached next to the tweet, and just assume it was real and react to it. Because a lot of people got caught by Liam Eichenberg. I think it was like making $7 million a year or something like that.
Liam better not make more than I made.
Nah, I don't think he is.
Okay.
I want to get your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward in a second, but I'm just going to finish out the AFC ranking here again. Through the first wave of free agency, here are your playoff teams. Number 8, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
7, the Chargers.
I would say the Steelers now with Joey Porter Jr. on one side and Darius Slay on the other. That's about to be special
and
defensively.
And look, man, like DK Metcalf, you add that to their already pretty good receiving core, plus Najee Harris in the backfield. Like, bro, the Steelers, they've always been a quarterback away from being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Always.
Yes.
I don't know, like, if Aaron Rodgers, I still don't know what this old man's going to, when he's going to make his decision, but maybe he needs an ayahuasca trip to help him figure it out first. But if he does go to Pittsburgh, as much as I've been out on Aaron for the past two seasons, that does intrigue me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It intrigues me a little bit.
It should, and my comfortability and knowledge and friendship with Mike Tomlin, I think it can work because Mike ain't taking none of that crazy stuff out of Aaron. So if Aaron's going to have to succeed that foolishness to Mike Tomlin, and if he does, I think it could be something special.
7 are the Chargers. 6, the Houston Texans. Totally, this is just all the playoff teams. 5, the Bengals, who were not a playoff team a year ago, but now we all kind of think they'll be fine. They'll get back on track. And 4, the Denver Broncos, who take a huge bump forward. So I guess they feel like Bo Nix is going to take a leap. I don't know if you feel that way.
And Bo can play. Bo can play. But that's all it's off of. They have a great defense. And, yeah, you know, they trust like Bo's gonna come into the second year with no slump.
Baltimore Ravens, 3. Buffalo Bills, 2. And Kansas City Chiefs are still the number 1 team in the AFC, according to this ranking on CBS Sports.
They can sign Jimmy. Our Jimmy, as long as they have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, they're going to be number 1 most times.
Sir. Hollywood Hotline, shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Zach Gelb is a national radio host for the Infinity Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter at Zach Gelb. Gelby, I'm wondering if you're surprised that the Minnesota Vikings told, the ayahuasca-taken old man who loves to stay in dark places, Aaron Rodgers, like, enough, we're tired of waiting for you, and they're riding with the rookie, J.J. McCarthy.
I think the characterization of that could be a little bit wrong, but I guess, according to when I was listening, you've been getting a lot of things wrong today.
What happened?
With the Hard Rock Stadium and all that other stuff. No, just I don't think that this is I don't think Aaron Rodgers was sitting there holding the Vikings in limbo. It was just where the Vikings actually interested. And the Vikings said, thanks, but no thanks. Like, we're out on ayahuasca, Aaron, and we're going to go with our young quarterback. So this, to me, is Aaron Rodgers' rejection. And this is Aaron being the desperate person that wanted to go to Minnesota. And the hot girl said no thank you to Aaron Rodgers.
Is Aaron really going to change? Like, now it's the Steelers, Gelby. That's like, we know what's going to happen. It's a one-year rental, whatever, with Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron going to change something? Because if you look at his numbers from last year, they're not bad. But we all watch the Jets. You're in New York. You watch the Jets. It wasn't impressive. Is Aaron Rodgers changing a franchise?
No, not anymore. Like, could the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers and could they win a playoff game with him, which they haven't done since 2016? Yeah, I guess. So if that's considered a big change, I guess we could classify it that way. But I don't think we would regard it that way, especially when we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't think he's going to the Giants. The question just becomes, if he keeps on waiting and dragging his feet, do the Steelers kind of have the guts to just say, okay, we're going to roll it back with Russell Wilson. We're sick and tired of waiting for Aaron Rodgers. And quite frankly, I'd be good if he just retired. Like, I really like if it came out tomorrow that the Giants moved up to the number one overall pick to get Cam Ward and the Steelers just said, bleep this, we're going to rock and roll with Russell Wilson, I'm good. But like, I don't need to see any more Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to win another Super Bowl. We all know he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's someone that it's kind of crazy where you look back at his career and it's a top 10, top 15 quarterbacking career. But you look back at it and you go, got to one Super Bowl. And I like forget only winning one, but only got to one, especially how early in his career he did that. He was never able to get back to another one. That's the crazy part to me.
Yeah, and Gelb, that's interesting because I think at one point he wins that Super Bowl. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, just like pure talent and expectations. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers like he's going to end up being in the
Tom Brady
Manning,
range.
Tom Brady class. And he's
the thing
definitely
that frustrates
that.
Me the most. It's because people go, oh, well, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. No, the best quarterback you've ever seen is Tom Brady. Sure, Aaron Rodgers may have the stronger arm. The accuracy may be better. But Brady was still able to kick your ass. And everyone says, oh, Brady doesn't have the strongest arm. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback in the world, you know, compared to some other guys. So Brady was working against all that and still kicked everybody's ass and still won seven championships in two different spots too. So the Brady-Rodgers stuff was the dumbest thing I've ever heard people say that, oh, Rodgers is good. You know, I'd rather have Rodgers over Brady. Nonsense.
Who would you rather have going into 2025? Tua Tagovailoa or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather have Tua. Now, I'm not saying that that means Tua is the better quarterback, but it's almost like for Tua, there's still an unknown of when he's healthy, you know, how far can this go? Because the sample size in the postseason is still very small for him. For Aaron Rodgers, he's 42. I think they're – put it this way. If Tua Tagovailoa was on the Jets last year, Tua would have got banged up and he would have got hurt, but I thought he would have won more games than what Aaron Rodgers did, especially early on in the season.
And Gelby, talking about, you saw brother Giants, the Titans, the Browns. We know the first picks of the draft that, you know, they all need a damn quarterback. Is what you've done, the people you've talked to, and you know, you do national TV, so you national radio, you talk to everybody. Is the Shedeur Sanders hate warranted? And is he the better quarterback? Because, bro, I've watched all the Canes games last year. I go to every Canes game because I have a damn restaurant, shameless plug, in the Hard Rock Stadium for Canes games. And I went to Boulder and I watched Shedeur Sanders play. I really believe in my heart Cam Ward is a better football player than Shedeur. Where Shedeur can be good, I think Shedeur can lead a franchise. But it seems like there are some knocks against Shedeur that I don't think are warranted.
I think it's a lot of jackassery with the draft process. You know, anyone that's sitting there saying that Shedeur Sanders is going to fall in the draft, give me a break. I'm not saying he's generational. I'm not saying Cam Ward is generational either. But one way or another, Cam Ward's going to be the first overall pick of the draft. And Shedeur Sanders, if I'm Cleveland, I would take him at two. If Cleveland continues to be Cleveland and they don't make the right decision, then the Giants are in play at three. The farthest he's going to fall would be to six, because I still think the Raiders would be in line to gobble him up if you have the Browns and also the Giants pass up on him just because they got Geno Smith. That doesn't mean that they can't draft Shedeur Sanders. So at worst case, he's going six. But I think like some of the things that people were saying at the combine, that one dopey report that's like, oh, a quarterback coach in the top seven said he was brash and arrogant. Well, information for you. I want my quarterback to be brash and arrogant. If they're not an alpha, that's a damn problem. What do you want them to come in the room and be all respectful and shake everybody's hands and not have an opinion and have zero confidence? Stop that. That's something I don't want. So it was stupid what happened with Shador at the combine.
Yeah, so Gelb, it's funny because obviously down here in Miami, we got to see Cam Ward for an entire season, and all of us are sick. I said it yesterday. It's sick to my stomach whenever I think about it, that Cam Ward maybe had the greatest individual season of a Miami Hurricanes quarterback ever, and that's saying something, given a couple Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks at the U.
And you guys still couldn't make the playoffs.
And Mario Cristobal on the defense just pooped themselves and couldn't get into the playoffs. So it literally counted for nothing. But having said that, all of us think the world of Cam Ward. And I wonder if, from your perspective or from a national perspective, look, he's the surefire best quarterback in the draft. I think everybody agrees. But is he a franchise changer? You think the Titans are going Cam Ward for sure?
Here's what I know about Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. I think that they've made everyone else around them better. And even though neither played in the college football playoff, they did win more with less. It's not like they, like, Restrepo was a very good wide receiver for Miami. I know that, Shador had Travis Hunter, but the rest of the pieces around them were not the greatest pieces in the world. So I think that goes for something. I think right now both could be good. I don't know if both can be great, but to the other part of your question, I think for sure Cam Ward's going one. I just don't know if Tennessee's going to take him or if maybe – I don't think the Browns are going to trade up. If a team trades up, it could be the Giants. But if you put a gun to my head today, I would say Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee. You know what? Screw the gun to the head part. If I'm doing the drafting, here would be the first four picks for me. Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee, Shador 2 to Cleveland. Then in the third spot, I think that the Giants then should take Travis Hunter and then the Patriots go Abdul Carter. That's what I would like to see happen.
Exactly what I had, Gelb. You and me, just on the same wavelength. Zach Gelb, a national radio host for the Infinity Sports Network.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah, well I was going to ask you about your bracket that I saw you filled out on Twitter, Gelb, because, because you went Duke and Florida. Oh, real original for a final, Duke and Florida.
It's nobody, all right.
Nobody has that, Gelb.
You don't even care about college, but you're a basketball guy. You don't even care about college basketball because I heard the dopey things you said about the SEC earlier.
Oh, this SEC. Oh, basketball conference. Oh, we got 14 teams. I'll put money right now with either of you. No
SEC.
Who do
you root for, by the way? Who's
FIU. FIU, pause up, baby. Pause up. FIU.
Yeah, pause up.
Panthers.
Yeah. The Panthers. They're the Panthers nobody cares about in Florida. We only care about the other Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
But you do a good job on the games, right?
Yeah, no, because the Temple Owls are really broadening their fan base.
Here's the difference between you and I. I'll tell you when my team sucks. You can't do so, all right? My team sucks. But I got my attention was caught by Channing's story. So who threw you the bag of cash back in the day, and how much was it, just wondering?
I got a couple different bags, Gelby, allegedly. I've learned, Gelb, if I say allegedly, then it's all fine. So,
well, it's
yeah.
Past the statute of limitations. What, like, no offense, what are they going to do? They're going to vacate things for you going back to Florida? Who gives a rat's ass at this point?
Gelb, I told a story a couple years back about me selling my jersey when I was at Florida, and Trace Armstrong called me.
Really?
And was like, hey, man, take it easy on all that stuff. So, like, then I kind of panicked. I'm like, damn, Trace Armstrong called me. Yeah. I'm in trouble. Yeah, and now these damn kids have million-dollar deals. And I'm like, I can't tell a story from 20 years ago?
Here's the thing. Number one, I'm absolutely trying to get a headline out of Channing Crowder right now.
Well, that's already been a headline, Gelb. That's already been a headline.
I'm trying to get it again. Yeah. And number two, at this rate, Crowder, the NCAA needs you more than you need them. Like, let's be real. And with the pivot and all that stuff, they get more pop, through you guys than they probably do on their own with the buffoons that run the NCAA.
Emmert?
Oh, Mark.
Yeah, his job is soon to end. That NCAA is going bad off, man. But the hate for the SEC in basketball, I don't get it. You heard Solana in the last segment. I do not get why people hate that once you can pay people – the SEC is going to take over, right? That's what we do.
Yeah, and it also levels the playing field more. But yeah, you guys are throwing bags of cashes, as you know, anyway, back in the day. So now you guys can do it legally. Wonderful.
Gail, by the way, when Crowder says, I told a story a couple of years ago, that story was told when he first came on the air in 2010, when he was still an NFL player, which is why it was a national story, which is why it garnered headlines. Crowder, things are a little different now. And by the way, that was 15 years ago. I think statute of limitations
are done. Charlie Baker's giving you a call now, all right? Let's be real. I think you'd be good.
I took some money.
How much?
Crowder, there's your Dan, there's our headline. Bed. There's the headline. Crowder took money.
How many strip clubs can we go to with all that cash that you got? Singles?
Yeah, we would have had us a good time.
Joe Rose, I know you got to go, Gelby, but Joe Rose said the other day when he was recruited by, I think, Cal. He went to Cal, right? That they like gave him a car and they slipped him $100. They left it in the cup holder in the car.
They dropped cash back in Joe's day. Jeez, that's $100.
$100.
They were bartering back then. They were trading off items.
Zach Gelb,
horse and buggy, probably.
Zach Gelb, the pride of Temple. Listen to him afternoons on the Infinity Sports
Pause
Network.
Up, you know, real great. What am I going to say next? Owls, Hootie Hoot? Like, all right, come on,
Gelby, thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Be well. Hopefully we didn't Crowder in trouble.
Yeah. Hopefully he
it's
is.
Over for me.
If we can get that
it's
to
over
go
for
viral,
me.
That'll be good. Help our ratings. Crowder, Solana, Jimmy, and Dan Day take you up until 6.
Six. I got money from like probably close to double digit schools, eight or nine schools.
Allegedly.
Dan, if you say allegedly, then nothing can happen bad. But
good.
Yeah, man, people will shoot you $4,000 or $5,000, no problem. That's nothing.
Allegedly.
Yeah, what a life you live, man. We are breaking news here on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Hock and Crowder Show. We'll take a break. More
on the
HC
shore
coming up next on the shore.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Somebody texts in, how is it possible the most successful and famous person on the show does not know how to unmute their microphone or keep their teeth in?
I let Jesus take the wheel.
Hock and Crowder.
Universal Music was very mean in that lawsuit.
Headlines here brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Alice. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. People are mad at Tua again. People are mad at Tua. People are mad at Tua.
What did he do this time?
People are mad at Tua again, dude. Here he is. I mean, Tua out here.
Is he having fun again?
Too much fun. Too much fun. You know what he's not?
In the offseason?
He is not.
But is he not allowed to decompress and have fun before? What is he decompressing for 7 months?
This is Tua Tagovailoa at Zed's at Palm Tree Club. I don't know. I'm not cool enough for this. That's down here.
You don't know where Palm Tree Club is?
I don't, dude. But there's Tua.
I have no idea where that is.
I will say, look, any place that there's a sign that could say horny people only,
yeah,
you're having a good time.
Ooh.
That's Zed. Nice.
That is on the 79th Street Causeway.
I don't know. That actually has words in his music.
Hey, question.
What does it sound like?
What is he supposed to be doing now? I would like to know.
He's supposed to be in the lab.
Working, dude.
Okay.
What was he doing? What did he do last year? So that's 8 to 12.
No way. You can't underachieve and go
Wait,
out.
I'm like here.
Technically, he didn't underachieve.
I'm
His hip just didn't
you,
work.
I'm asking it's you a question.
Yeah.
If he gets up every morning, goes and gets his work in,
yep.
It's the off season.
Yep.
Why are we making a big deal about this?
Two-a-days, dude. You ever heard of a two-a-day?
What if he did two-a-days?
No way. And still find time for Zed, then he's not working hard enough.
So in the offseason, you're saying all athletes should spend the same amount of time they spend during the season preparing for football.
No, if you won the Super Bowl, you're allowed to chill.
No. You didn't answer my question.
Yeah.
He's giving you the parameters that he believes.
Every other person who did not take home the Lombardi should be working two-a-days, too.
Wow. Even Mahomes?
Really? And so my question is this. My question is this. Is that if they get burned out midway through the season because they work too hard in the offseason, then what would you say?
Does that really happen?
I work too hard.
Your body needs, dude, it's a grueling season. Your body needs to decompress. How about this? You ready?
Hell of a decompression.
Let me tell you what I did.
When's his birthday?
Season ended in January.
Yeah.
I did not do anything until the end of February, beginning of March.
I think his birthday was like 2 weeks ago.
And when I got back to Florida, I literally slept for the first week. I didn't realize how exhausted I was. I just laid around and slept for almost a week.
This guy's season's been done since January, though, Leroy. It's been done since January, his season. It's been done.
Okay. And so he's probably doing stuff in the mornings.
What's he doing? You know, getting ready for Zed concerts. That's what he's doing.
But what, like,
I don't... Is Zed a person?
Here.
DJ.
I don't understand. That's no different than you telling Tobin he shouldn't take vacation with his family. He should be dedicated to this.
I am dedicated to the
craft. No, but you know what? Tobin is a reigning Miami New Times personality of the year 3 times.
And let me ask you this question.
Champion.
What's your excuse?
I need to be doing 2-a-days.
He needs to keep the lights on. That's his excuse.
Right. But I'm just saying, I don't understand. Like, we go through this and we take athletes when they're in the off season, get on certain athletes. Like, what should they be doing? You never have an answer for what they should be doing.
This is the only
without
thing
really knowing what they are doing.
This is the one thing I would say. I don't have a problem with Tua living his life and having fun, but it is the most partying we've seen him do ever in his career, because we typically don't see him out and about. And it seems like he's got a lot of snitches in his camp right now, because I don't think Tua likes that being out there.
You know who was there?
Who?
Braxton Berrios.
Look at that. He's you know, married to a famous TikToker.
You want to be in the same room as old Cheating McGee?
I get all of this, but you know, all athletes are doing stuff other than football.
Yeah, but I would say
I just saw a video of DK Metcalf playing basketball.
Yep.
Okay, I just saw athlete. It's the off season, dude. You need to get away from it.
What's Myles Garrett doing?
Nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing. He just sold his soul to live in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing.
Josh Allen. What's Josh Allen doing?
There's a period of time.
Did you guys not just see that clip of Jamar?
He's hanging out with his fiance. They're probably traveling the world.
Did you guys not see the clip today from Jamar Chase's extension press conference when they asked him what he likes about Cincinnati? He goes, "You can stay focused." He goes, "I hate the food here."
Right.
Misses New Orleans. It's like actively telling Cincinnati. He goes, "You guys had to pay me more than anybody because I hate it here."
Tua. And guess what? That also is fine, because guess what? Do you ever worry about Jamar Chase not doing his job?
No.
Okay, so whether he says he likes it here or doesn't like it here, the fact of the matter is when he gets on the field, he performs.
Never seen him at a Zed party.
But you know what
they
it is?
They don't have Zed parties in Cincinnati.
What are they? It's like it's chili cook-off every weekend for Joe Burrow.
Also, understand where you live. There's always something. So if he was at Formula One, would you complain about that? If he was at
because he has to kiss ass.
Miami Open, would you complain about that?
No, because he has to, like we heard yesterday, like the Tungavailoa's, we're talking about a concert they're going to go to at Hard Rock.
Oh, another concert. Look at that.
He's allowed to go to concerts, dude.
He's allowed to.
So you guys accept underachieving.
I want him to be fat. Marco, I told you what I want.
I don't think Marcos understands.
He's mad at Tua.
How grueling it is physically and mentally.
Yeah.
For those 6 or 7 months.
It is grueling to not win a playoff game. It is grueling underachieve.
Because they haven't won a playoff game. Hold on. Yeah. Let me see if I can get your logic.
Yeah.
Because they haven't won a playoff game in 20-plus years, then nobody in the Dolphins organization should be doing anything fun.
It's not that nobody should be doing anything fun, but I think that the fan would argue, and he's even said this about himself, Tua, he's the highest-paid employee of the Dolphins. which makes you the face of the Dolphins.
Face of the franchise.
And while it's fine, I don't have a problem with it. We've never seen him party.
Belly of the franchise.
Very rare to see him party. And now we've got two party clips in the span of a week. And maybe he's having a birthday month. I don't know. Good for him.
Birthday
but
month.
Here's what I will say. Here's what I will say, Leroy. It's a different day and age. So, if the Dolphins get eliminated in December, they're going to go back to that and say Tua had OTAs for Cancun. I don't make the rules. That's just what they're going to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I love Cancun as much as the next guy.
This is brutal. Like,
it's not brutal. Like, you know, like
it is. Well, what do you mean it's not brutal?
It's not brutal.
It's the offseason. Here, how about this? What if I were to say to you, I only play football when I'm getting paid?
You did say that.
When I'm getting a check.
Yeah, you do actually. You did say that.
Yeah,
that's, stop.
That's why you don't play the Turkey Bowl.
Yeah, you don't run.
No. I mean is that you do realize that most of the work that they do in the offseason is free. Like, there's no check on the end of it. There's no, you know, it's all
preparation. Like, that's the semantics. Like, you're a full-time employee. Like, I get it, but, like, you get signing bonuses. You get paid at different times.
Why are you changing the rules of sports?
Because, like, when you're a star of a football team, you can get Leroy, let me answer the question. When you're a star of a football team, you're going to get checks at certain points that are like in the middle of March. You get a roster bonus because you're that big of a star. Like, it happens all the time. Like, I get what you're saying. I know guys get game checks, but they'll also just have a check dropping from the sky.
And are we making the assumption, and this is what Marcos is doing, that Tua isn't working? Based on what he's doing one evening in South Florida.
Well, it seems like two afternoons.
Two of them.
Two afternoons, okay? Afternoons. Okay, who's to say dude's not getting up early in the morning and going and getting his work in?
All right, and who's to say he's not at Tootsie's at night? I don't know what, like, I can't, like, okay, I don't know what he's doing.
But you're making these assumptions.
I'm telling you.
And you're making these assumptions.
No,
and he's
not.
In work.
I'm making the assumptions based on what I lived.
If we only go off of what we're seeing, when
the football season was over, there was a period of time during the course of the year I had to get away from football and let my body heal before I got back into it again.
See, but this is you're a hard worker and you're getting rest. If we look at since the last time this man has played football, he's healed up. He's good now.
You know what I've seen Bradley Chubb do this offseason?
How do you know he's not working though?
Well, I'm going to need him to put a hype workout video.
Bradley Chubb is in a different category.
Why?
Because when you are hurt and don't play a season, you are required to do certain things in the next offseason with the team.
He needs to get a hold of the narrative, okay? Because right now he's got snitches in his camp who are leaking videos of him partying his ass off. Okay. So I'm telling you. Hear
not
me out on this.
Necessarily leaking videos.
Look, they're leaking videos.
That could be anybody.
It was a whole promotion of Margs or whatever, which is Alex Earl. I'm looking at the video right now. Alex Earl's Braxton Barrios' girlfriend.
Oh,
she's the Earl of Sandwich.
We had Cheetah on our team and Cheaty. Now he's hanging out with Cheaty.
Who cheated?
Didn't Braxton Barrios? Isn't he promiscuous?
Well, that was before this.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But it's a bunch of videos of people. It didn't leak. It was just like a...
But here's the difference, JFig. Like, no one cares about Braxton Berrios, respectfully. Nobody cares about Braxton Berrios partying in the offseason. He's not the face of the franchise. He's not even on the team anymore.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my brain around this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're saying is this. If you're the face of the league... No decompressing, no partying, no nothing. You just be miserable in your house and work out.
No. What I'm saying is, if that's going to get out there, you need to put a hype workout video on there as well to balance the message. For example, I see plenty of adorable videos of Jalen Phillips going on vacation. But you know what else I see videos of him doing?
Grinding.
Beating science,
working.
Dude.
Working.
Working. Hurdles. That's the last video squats.
Of him beating science.
This weekend. He did a, he put up a story of him hopping in the Dolphins facility. And that. Then he was off to Tahiti or whatever.
Look at that.
But he was in the lab.
So he got one workout, then went to Tahiti.
Yep.
And the only reason why we're talking about Tua, because he did his fun in Miami, closer to home base.
Tua doesn't want that video
going,
out.
Jalen Phillips is going to Tahiti. So if he's not ready for camp, are you going to say probably shouldn't have went to Tahiti?
Yes.
You know what I don't know?
Yes, I am going
to
say
this
that.
This is crazy. What does one have to do with the
no
other?
No going to White Lotus if you're not going to be ready for the season.
Wait, what does one have to do with the other?
It's a reward
what
system.
What does party?
Nothing. They're just hating.
I'm not hating. Oh, I'm really not hating. System. I'm sure. Look, I bet you anything. Here's what I would bet. Right? Tua Tagovailoa had a tough year. Got injured. Stress. You know. But did fall. You know, get his well deserved contract. Good for him. But he's also got two toddlers at home. And let me tell you something. Those are the grind years as a parent. Mm. I see probably a couple parents out there cutting loose on a boat, in the club, got to blow off some steam. Mm. But I'm telling you right now, that man has said he's very private, and he doesn't like who's snitching on his business.
Mm.
I'm not saying he can't live his life, but I'm telling you he's pissed off that's on the internet. There's no way he's not. He said he got pissed that people found out that he was getting married.
Yeah, maybe stop partying.
So what he needs to do... is put a video of himself in the lab. I'm just telling you right now, as a consult, if I can consult Tua right here, I need a lab video. That's what I need.
Wow.
Need it.
Lab rat.
I don't know what Jalen Hurts is doing. I don't know what Lamar Jackson is doing. I haven't seen videos of Josh Allen. I don't even know what Patrick Mahomes
you know
is
why? Because Josh Allen lives in Buffalo.
Not good.
Not hey.
But he's got money.
That's
fine.
Go
anywhere. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm not,
I want to keep
and
it
I'm
way.
Probably sure you're not paying attention. To
five rings in. That's when
100%.
We didn't see Tom Brady. We didn't see Tom Brady dancing in Brazil till five rings in. Five rings, then he was dancing on a boat.
So five rings in, then you can dance.
No, it's not that. That doesn't have to be the measure. That doesn't have to be the measure. But I'm telling you right now,
all the NFL players who don't have five rings can't party.
That's not the rules, Leroy.
No.
Stop acting like everybody's got the same rules, okay? Just like Jimmy Johnson said, you know, he'd cut the third lineman who fell asleep in a meeting. He'd shrug Troy Aikman and wake his ass up. Different rules. He plays by different rules. Them's are the facts.
But what I'm saying is you're making the assumption that he's not putting in work.
I'm not falling for that. I'm sure that he is working.
What? You know,
there's a lot of things that people have said about Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Working on that.
They've never said that Tua was lazy and didn't prepare.
And no one's saying that he is. But
okay, so what's the problem then?
Does he look like he's working out? Where
Who
are we like?
Who cares about optics when the guy has never been known not to put in the work?
I'm telling you right now, dude. If Tua had his way, all right, if he could be like, do I want that video on the internet or could I erase it from the internet? He'd erase it from the internet because he don't want to deal with it.
Mm.
But that still doesn't take away from whether... If it is or isn't on the internet, does he have a right to go out and have a good time?
More pump fakes, less pumping fists.
Look at that.
You guys realize that you have set forth a set of rules for athletes to live by.
More hard counts, less hard seltzer.
You could not live by. If I put your body through what they go through for 7 months, you ain't doing nothing right after the season for a minute.
He's had some time.
And then you get back into it.
He's had time.
Like,
you slept for a week.
If you're telling me that Tua's been known to be lazy and not put in the work, okay, maybe I would have a different opinion of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's never been said to Tua.
It's two in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Oh, in February.
March.
In March.
Yep.
In March.
Time to get after
it. When does mini camp? May?
I don't know.
It's usually like around the first week of May,
mm-hmm.
and then another 2 months before the start.
What's going to be next? At the Kentucky Derby?
I just went to Jalen Hurts' Twitter. He was in the weight room today.
Was he?
Super Bowl champion.
Wow.
I feel like he's lying.
The lab.
He's lying. He's lying.
No, but you could believe
he's lying.
I wouldn't believe that.
Wait. Where's Jalen Hurts right now?
He's in Mexico. No, I don't know.
And you know, Josh Allen is in a golf course, I saw.
Yeah, focusing, really dialing it in, you know? Just dialing
really?
It in. Just focusing.
It's like a celebrity classic.
The swing.
You guys want a mock draft?
Yeah! Who made it? Who's responsible for this?
Smith and Schmoldick says an idiom from an idiot.
Pretty good.
Point for
the godfather of the mock, dude.
Oh, Mel Kiper. Yeah.
Mel Kiper Jr., who once came on the show and dropped Leroy's baseball stats on us. That's how prepared he came.
Pretty much.
You want to hear his mock draft?
I would love to.
Number one overall from the U, Cam Ward.
Woo.
Says, we're still not 100% sure what the Titans do. They could try and trade this pick to a QB needy team such as the Giants. Tennessee could opt for one of the top two prospects like Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Both players fill holes on the roster. But it sure seems like the stars are starting to align for Tennessee to draft their next franchise QB. Number two, the Cleveland Browns.
Select.
Abdul Carter. Ooh. From Penn State. He says this is close. Really close. Travis Hunter would be outstanding here regardless of whether the Browns would use him on offense or defense, but ultimately I settled on Carter because he gives Jim Schwartz the second top-tier edge rusher that he has coveted since becoming the Cleveland Browns defense coordinator in 2023. The Browns would suddenly have two great wide nine pass rushers in Carter and Miles Garrett, who extended earlier this month after initially requesting a trade. Carter uses his outstanding instincts, his burst to get into the backfield to make plays. He had 12 sacks, 61 pressures, and 23.5 tackles for loss last season, Leroy. Number three, Shedeur Sanders. He has Shedeur Sanders, who I believe he said he has above Cam Ward in his personal list. Mel Kiper. He is a Shedeur Sanders believer. He's not buying into all this negative nonsense around Shedeur Sanders that he's dropping like a stone down all these draft boards. He has him number three to the Giants, even though they're still, I guess, kind of in the Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers deal. Number four, Travis Hunter to the Patriots. Number five, Mason Graham from Michigan to the Jaguars. Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders at six. And then we'll go all the way down. Number nine, Jackson Dart. He's going top 10. He's got Jackson Dart going to the Saints.
All right.
He goes, okay, here's the surprise pick. And I know the Saints just restructured Derek Carr's contract to tie him into the team for at least one more season. But what happens after that season? New coach Kellen Moore might want a young QB to work with and develop over the course of 2025 before turning it over to him in 2026. I'm hearing more and more first-round buzz on Dart, and New Orleans seems like a good fit. He wouldn't be forced to play right away, and he can learn behind Carr. Team still has a lot of roster decisions to make. And at number 13, to the Miami Dolphins, he has Will Campbell, offensive lineman from LSU. Now, we learned in Robbie's room last week, T-Rex arms. That's the big knock on him. He's good. He's got tiny arms. So, it says left tackle Teron Armstead will be 34 if he returns in 2025, and that's a big if. He's mulling retirement, and the Dolphins are operating as if he won't be back. So, considering the concussion injury history of Tua, Miami should be focused on finding Armstead's heir apparent. Plus, this team ranked 28th in pass block win rate last season. Yes, Campbell's arm length comes into question. He measured 32.58 inches at the combine, which isn't ideal for an offensive tackle, but plenty of tackles have started the career guard. Campbell's great footwork points to a successful career despite length limitations. No mention of Patrick Paul there, who
Is he not ready? Is he not ready?
I don't know if he's not ready. I'm not quite sure. How would you feel, Frog Boy, if we go fat guy in the first round? Would that make you happy?
Yeah, that would make me happy. I do think, you know, regardless of how I want a mobile quarterback or something flashy, I think it's time to solidify that O-line, dude.
Oh, really? I'm glad you see that now.
Yeah,
Dave South says...
Last year, you wanted to sign Odell Beckham.
Not me, him.
No, you were out that day, and I had to go through a whole show with
him. Yeah, but then he came the next day, and he agreed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just said, what's the harm?
Well, we saw it. We saw the harm.
How are they so bad when they're not throwing a Waddle or Tyreek?
So great.
What was that? That was that the Bills game, right? Where they just kept throwing to other guys. And we had one to Robbie Chosen. It bounced off his face and was picked off. Mm. And then you had the other one where it was it DeBose, where he just like stopped and then it was also picked off?
Yeah. I mean,
that was rough. That was a rough one. We'll take a break here on the show. More to come.